Okay. So Genesis chapter 26, verses 15 to 21. So all the wells that Isaac's father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us, you have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and camped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna.
There's our text. Our team is digging and more digging. And a brief word of prayer. Lord, any truth that we get is by the power of your Spirit that gives us understanding. Lord, we can read it and understand what has just been said, but Lord, to understand what it is you're saying to us through it at this time, this place, and for those who will listen in. We ask, Lord, for an accurate, Lord, interpretation and an accurate, Lord, application to go with it. We ask this, Lord, for your honor, for your glory, and, Lord, if we're honest, for our benefit as well. And all of God's people said, amen. All right. There you are. You look at that and you say to yourself, as I said to myself, yes, it's about Isaac, and it's primarily about lads digging wells and the thing going wrong and digging more wells and then it going wrong again. And what has digging wells and more digging got to do with any of us? If we want water, we turn on the tap. Or if you're very uppity, you go and you buy your water, you know, from your favourite brand. Whatever the case may be, we don't worry about digging wells. We just worry if there's no water on the tap as to what Ishka Ern are doing or not doing. So in many ways, this is alien to us. Does that make sense? It is not where we live. And for the most part, digging wells, well, I don't know if it has been your experience, but, you know, probably flat tires and changing light bulbs have been as close as you've got to real life as opposed to digging wells. So to make it applicable, I have a series of questions to guide us through this. As you look there at that passage, you see straight away that the Lord had blessed Isaac abundantly. And he had lots of flocks and herds, servants and all that. And the Philistines were envious of him. So the first thing he had to do in verse 15 is they had wells there, but the Philistines filled them up. We looked at that last time, verse 15. They filled them with earth. You needed water for the servants. You needed water for all the cattle and all of the stuff. Water was essential. So without that, the prosperity can continue. So he had to deal with that. And verse 16, then Abimelech comes to him and says, "Look, you have outstayed your welcome here. You're now going to have to move." And moved he does. And he moves to this valley of Gerar, where he settled. And he reopens wells that had been dug there by his father, but had been filled in by other Philistines at an earlier time. The very same thing happened there again. So he reopens those and he gives them back the names that obviously Abraham had given to him, or given to the wells. So you see there's a pattern of God blessing, God prospering, and others doing the best they can to undo it and make life as difficult as possible. That much we can get. I think that's a fair enough assessment of those few verses. Would you agree? That's roughly kind of what we have. God's blessing others envious and do what they can simply out of jealousy to hinder it, block it, and to make them as unprosperous and make things as awkward as possible. That we can relate to some extent. So, here are my questions. They're the verses. Verses 19, 20, and 21. Because this is where we're at now. So he has moved on. His servants have dug in the valley and they've discovered a well of fresh water. But the herds of Gera quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the waters is ours. And they disputed with him. And then he digs another well and there's a quarrel over that. And he moves on again. So, question number one for you. What's your breaking point? Do you say, I'll do it once, and that's it. I have done it once, I'll do it a second time, but no more. All people have breaking points. All people say, once was enough, it didn't work the first time, it's not going to work the second time, I'm not going to have to do any more with it. Breaking point. Isaac and his herdsmen had to face that challenge over and over and over, even though God was blessing them. The key thing here for Isaac was a thing called perseverance. If you're going to walk by faith, as Isaac had to do, you're going to have to walk by perseverance. And perseverance means staying at it. Isaac could have walked away at any stage and said, enough is enough. Many people have very short breaking points. Second time around, I'm not doing it a third time. How many times have you heard people saying that? Twice was enough. There's no way I'm doing it a third time. Isaac had to do it several times. Well, his herdsmen had to do it several times. Their faith mastered the thing of the breaking point. They didn't allow the hassles to break them. So what's your breaking point? God was blessing them, but we have another question. When God is blessing, then here's the question is, why does he allow the road of blessing to be so challenging with obstacles and oppositions that has to be overcome? Isaac's crew eventually will find wells that there's no dispute over. We'll find that in verse 22 next week with the Lord's help. But we're not there yet. So why does the Lord allow this road of blessing to be so challenging? Loads of obstacles, opposition, and we've just looked at them there. Quarreling over water, and each time Isaac has to move on. That's the question we ask when the road gets rough. Why does God allow it? I don't know if Isaac asked that, but there's a good likelihood he could have had. Most people would have. Why so much obstacles? The Lord could have directed Isaac straight to that well where there was no disputing and avoided all the hassle, all the quarreling, all the jealousy, all of that. He didn't. He allowed it. So why does he do that? I don't have an answer. Indeed, obstacles and challenges shouldn't be in the way of blessing. Blessing is meant to be a free road with nothing in it, only blessing upon blessing. But in this case, it wasn't. That's a challenge that we all have to face. Why does the Lord allow the situation be very tricky, confrontational, lots of aggro, when he could help us to avoid all of it? Number three. How do you feel when you have done all the digging, i.e. the hard work, while others who have done nothing get all the benefit, while you walk away empty-handed? Isaac's servants dug the well, but the herdsmen quarreled, so they had to walk away from it. Verse 21, they dug another well, there was another quarrel, and they walked away. So how do you feel when you have done all the digging, the hard work, while others who have done absolutely nothing, they get all the benefit from it, while you walk away empty-handed? That's right in front of us here. And those situations are real and relevant to most people's lives. Of where you do an awful lot of stuff, you get no benefit from it. Others do. You've done the hard lifting, so to speak, and you walk away empty-handed. And the Lord allows it. That's in those three verses. Brings me to the next thing, though. If you've managed to get through 1, 2, and 3, you now are faced with number 4. And number 4 is simply this. Why keep going when there is nothing but hassle and aggro? And that's there. In bucket loads. Even though if I were flying through it. But the hassle and the aggro was as real as you can get. And Isaac and his crew had to walk away each time. And others got the benefit of their work. They got nothing. So why keep going when it's nothing but hassle and aggro? If you were sitting down having lunch with Isaac, and he was giving you the kind of a summary of, well, I met the Lord, he has blessed me, things are going good, but since the day of blessing, there's been nothing but hassle and aggro. What advice would you give to him? Or you ask him the question, Isaac, why keep going with all the hassle and all the aggro? Just walk away from it. That would be the advice of many Christians. It would be the advice of many, many Christians. Too much hassle, too much aggro, just walk away. Do you know why that wasn't a real option for Isaac? Because verses 1 to 6 of 26, which we didn't read at all, I kept back specifically to show you why he did it this way. Why didn't he just walk away and say, too much hassle, too much aggro? And the reason for that is verses 1 to 6, I'll read it up here. Now there was a famine in the land beside the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines in Gilgal. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while. I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all of these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands through your offspring. All of the nations of the earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keep my commands, my decrees, my instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Faith requires obedience. Obedience requires perseverance. The reason why he kept going was that the Lord had spoken to him. And he knew this is what he was meant to do. He was given the choice. Egypt, or this is what he now currently was. How would you advise him? Based on his current hassles, aggro, and all of that. Because that's what he had to face. That was the challenge. So he obviously had made the decision to stay in verse 6. And then we read about all the hassles from around, you know, verse 15 on, which we just read briefly. So digging or more digging or walk away. Can you see why I put in, abide with me, be thou my vision? Why I put in, Derek Prince, abide in the will of the Lord. Application. There's a choice here. Egypt didn't, Egypt, he could have gone to Egypt. There was less hassle down there. It would have been a life of ease for him. In other words, he wouldn't have the aggro, the opposition that he had. He wouldn't even have to worry about the stuff that he had to worry about. So Egypt was a real life possibility for him. The only problem with it is it was outside the will of God. Verse 1, the Lord says, do not go down to Egypt. Egypt was the easy route that required no faith, or little or no faith. How many people would have advised Isaac, go to Egypt? There's nothing but hassle and aggro here. So Egypt is one. That's the life of ease. Less hassle, less aggro. But the problem with it is, you may be outside the will of God. To many people, that doesn't actually matter. That's one. Second option is to, Gera, that's how you pronounce it, to live a life of challenge, of obstacles, aggro, and be in the will of God. So do I keep digging, or do I walk away? Because A, I have reached my breaking point. B, I am just cheesed off with the Lord because he has allowed so much to happen that he could prevent. D, I have done all the hard lifting and I haven't got an ounce of credit for it. And others that have cashed in on it and are flying around the place. There's an easier life for me out there, less stressful. But it's outside the will of God. But that's attractive at this stage, because doing the will of God is nothing but aggro. So now I'm faced with a decision. What do I do? As Isaac was faced with his decision. Things will turn for him. But they only turn for him because he didn't allow the thing to breaking point. He didn't allow to break it. He didn't question the Lord what the hassle was. He let others take the benefit for what he had done. And he kept going with it. And he chose to be in the middle of God's will, even though it was a lot of hassle. That's why we read about him in chapter 26. And we will see the success that he encounters the next time. Everybody wants that success, by the way. But very few people pass through that test that Isaac had to pass. And it's normal, natural stuff. Do I stay going or do I quit? Lord, all of us face it. And Lord, yes, we want to be in your will. Well, most of the time, Lord. But if it's really challenging and there's a lot of hassle, Lord, and we can become unstable and unsteady very quickly. And Lord, at times we can even make a decision as your people to be outside your will simply, Lord, because this life of ease is more attractive. But Lord, if we want to get to where Isaac got to, then Lord, we have to, Lord, stick at it. And Lord, remind ourselves again that the road of faith is a road that requires trust in you and ongoing perseverance. And only when we do that, Lord, can we expect to see anything at the end of it. Grant us help, Lord, that we need to be able to do that. And in your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.